How many of you have ever gone on a trip? You get in the car, you're ready for the trip, you got the kids all strapped in, you're all ready to go. It doesn't matter whether you're going to Australia or to the zoo. Somebody in the family is going to ask that big question, are we there yet? And maybe, just maybe, we'll get this video ready, maybe your family would look a lot like this video Kayla put together for us. Are we there yet? Well, we've always all been there. If you've ever had a little child on a trip, we've all been there and found those kind of problems go along the way. And so today we're going to look at part one of a sermon called Are We There Yet? And it really is timely that it's Mother's Day because, you know, even though I'm not going to preach a traditional Mother's Day sermon, you notice the difference between Scott and Rebecca as they played their parts. Now, of course, they're the most patient parents and never, you know, get frustrated like in the video. That was an acting job. Just want you to, I want everybody to be aware that they were just acting, right? Right, absolutely, yeah. And, boy, I've been there. Been two boys in the back saying, are you kidding me, man? Lighten up. I got to go do this. I got to do that. You're in the middle of the turnpike, and there's nothing. And they're, I got to go to the bathroom. I'll pull over and let them go. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's a tough deal, this traveling thing. But can you imagine what it must have been like for Noah? We're talking about ark building in the 21st century, and we look at this thing, and it just blows me away that Noah must have felt what Scott and Rebecca were feeling in that video a lot more. Think about what happens, and can you imagine what it's like to be on the ark with all these animals, these stinky animals? And there's eight humans, and the rest are animals, and they don't know how to, you know, poop in a normal place. They just let it go. I mean, there's smells everywhere. There's no McDonald's to stop at. You're in a boat, and the world is being flooded. There is nothing. There's no stopping to go to the bathroom. There's no stopping to go to get gas in the boat. You don't need gas in the ark. It has no motor. And so we've got a real serious problem here. Are we there yet? Well, I'm going to tell you some ways that we can get ready for Jesus' return as we look at Noah's life. The Bible says that the days that of Jesus coming are going to be like the days of Noah. So we're going back and looking at Noah's life, and we're seeing a little bit about what he might have went through as he builds this big boat over a very long time, over 100 years. And we're going to see a play-by-play, a step-by-step look at what the required obedience that Noah must have had. So let's look at the story. The first point is get in the boat. Before you can go on any trip, you got to get in the vehicle. And the vehicle that God chose for this particular situation was a boat. It was a big ark. Nobody had ever built an ark like this. This was a big old boat, and it was not built near water. It was just built out there over 100 years. Noah's preaching a message. He's telling people that it's going to rain, and they're going, what's rain? Because it's never rained before. And it's going to flood the earth, and everybody's going to die, and you better get right or you're going to get flooded, and blah, 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 blah. And people think his cheese has slid off his cracker. They think he's nuts. And they just keep on doing, the Bible says, that they just kept on doing all the things that they ever had been doing. They've been giving in marriage and doing all this stuff, and they just never stopped. Excuse me. They never stopped to see what God might want to do. And so the first thing you got to do, the very first step of any long trip, is you got to get in the vehicle. Of course, this trip means that Noah and his family, his three boys and their wives, we know there was at least those people, and all the animals had to get into this boat. Now, can you imagine Noah's kids? Okay, it's time. It's time for what? It's time to get in the boat. Well, what do you mean? Well, you know this boat I've been building for over 100 years, probably more longer than you've been alive? We're getting in it. Well, what for? Because God's going to flood the earth, It's going to rain. They're going, what's rain? Just get on the boat. Just get in your car seat. I mean, they're probably older than that, but you get the idea. Can you imagine Mrs. Noah? What she must have thought? I mean, their whole life together. Noah's been building this stupid big boat, and she's been backing him and supporting him, being a good mom, taking care of the kids, doing all the stuff she's supposed to do. And Noah says, okay, Mom, time to get in the boat. So they get in the boat. Now, what's the problem I see with this? Well, I see a problem because they had gotten so used to this family business of boat building that it'd be pretty easy to begin to kind of tune it out. It's kind of like what we do in church. Some of us have been going to church for a long, long time. We keep hearing the same message. We keep hearing the message about Jesus, and we keep hearing the message about how God will provide for you. We keep hearing the message about this and that from God's Word. And the truth is that when the test comes, we really find out we haven't been listening that well. Noah preached this message for over 100 years, and he preached it not only with his voice, but with his actions, as he's building a boat that God told him to build. It's an amazing story, really. And now all of a sudden, it comes time for the test to see what's going to happen. He says to his family, get in the boat. Get in the boat. So they do. It's kind of like growing up in church or growing up in super church, and you hear the messages every single week, and we wonder, you know, but when the going really gets tough, then we don't really know the message very well. You know why I'm picking on that is because I hear people all the time who I know have said they've received Jesus, and I know that they have because I maybe led them in that prayer or talked with them about that, and they're trying to serve God. But all of a sudden, they get this opportunity to share the gospel with someone else, and they just say, Pastor Ron, I don't know what to say. Well, I know it gets a little nerve-wracking, but if you listen about every single week in church, I tell you the gospel. You say, why do you keep telling the same old story over and over and over and over? It's kind of like saying, Pastor Ron, are we there yet? No, we're still on the journey. And we need to know the gospel. We need to know the truths of God's Word. We need to know the promises of God. You know, there's so many promises in the Bible that God's people never realize in their life. Not because God doesn't want to give them the promises, but because we don't even know what the promises are. You see, if a husband goes up to his wife and he says to her, I've got promises for you, and you just live your life, and I'm going to fulfill all these promises. What do you think her question is going to be? Well, what's the promises? What are you promising me? You know, it's one thing for guys to keep their promise, but it's a whole other thing to somehow just verbalize our promise. Well, God has given us a book that's filled with His promises. It's filled with them. There's so many promises in this book. I mean, they're almost innumerable. And some of them have a little detail. If you do this, I will do this. How many of you know you don't need to only know the promise, you need to know what you need to do to release the promise into your life. But many of God's people sit in church week after week after week after week after week, year after year after year after year after year, and never grow, never receive, and are fulfilled by the promises of God because they never find out what they are. Not only that, but when you come to that point where you have to deal with your teenager or your child who's going through life's difficult adjustments, you can't depend on somebody else's faith or knowledge. better have your own. Or you better find a way to get some. You know, mom and dad can help a little bit, but most people, when they get to that point with their kids, they don't want mom and dad to help them. They all go, do this myself. And then they go, but I don't know how. When you come to that point in your marriage where you're dealing with an issue, a problem, you can turn to other people for counsel, but in reality, at the bottom of everything, the two of you have to work it out. No one else can. So you better find out how to deal with marriage problems long before they come. Because you are the ones that have to deal with it. Nobody else will live it. You know, you can come to me for counseling and I will talk with you and I'll give you some ideas and I'll give you some stuff. But if you don't take it home and put it into practice, it won't do any good. We could meet every single day and it won't help, because you got to put the Word of God into practice. Amen. So when if you're married and you're having troubles, the two of you need to recognize that you're a team working together against the enemy and anything else that's trying to steal from your marriage. And together, you two are the ones that can find the healing. Now, you have people with giftings and anointings that will help you, but ultimately, at the bottom of the, when it gets to the bottom line, you have to deal with it yourself. When you finally come to that place in your life where you're dealing with some financial issue and you just don't know how to deal with it and you just can't seem to agree in your life, you better recognize that God's Word has a lot to say about finances. And when you do it His way, it works. When you don't, it doesn't. It's bottom line, simple as this. His Word tells us how to give. It tells us how to tithe, and it is the most basic, most fundamental thing.